afternoon. This is Mike Vandervoort on Drive Through HR. The show started a little rough because I'm having some internet issues, but I think we're here. It's me. It's Tuesday, May 26th. I hope everyone had a great Memorial Day weekend. Spent the weekend in Asheville at Beer Week, so mine was great. And we have a guest today that I've known for several years. John, are you on the line? John? John? John, friend? Hey, John.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, sorry about that. I don't know what
you
heard.
No, it's all right.
We're having some Blog Through HR, or Blog Talk Radio has been having some issues here the last week or so. So we're here and live and connected now, huh?
That's right. They're just coming out, knocking out the cobwebs from the Memorial Day weekend, right?
I guess so, yeah. I don't know if it went to Asheville and went Blog Talk Radio was at Beer Week like I was, but it could very well have created some cobwebs. So anyway, we didn't get a chance to do any kind of chat before the pre-show. This is Mike Vandervoort. I'm hosting Drive Through HR today. It's May 26th. Like I said, I was in Asheville over the weekend for Beer Week and had a blast, and now we're back, you know, doing shows again. And today's guest is John Friend. John and I have known each other for several years, but I got to admit, it's been a little while since I saw you, John. And
it has.
What's going on? What's going on with John Friend these days?
Or
sorry,
John
Friend. John Hudson. Sorry.
John Friend's a great guy as well. Not much. I've just been I've celebrated a year anniversary at a company with Slalom Consulting here in Chicago, so that's been a good ride and a good transition for me for this past year. And
you were at the Oprah Winfrey Network before that, right? Am I remembering correct?
Yes, that's correct. I spent the previous 8 years with Harpo Studios, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and Discovery Channel, kind of that, doing a lot of work with various things that Oprah Winfrey was doing. Very fortunate to be a part of that. It's such a unique experience, and it was great. It was a great time. And then
I can't be able to remember
ago,
your last name, but I know where you used to work. So I'm
I think the Oprah name's a little more memorable than John Hudson. So unless you were a General Hospital fan many years ago.
I think I remember that when we met, which was probably at Illinois Sherm, and then I know,
yeah.
I just remember that I thought that was like, it's one of those unique opportunities, you know, and it sticks, right? You know,
it does. It was something that I'll never be able to replicate just from those experiences I had. But it made some great friends and did some great work, and now doing trying to redo that again here at Slalom. So
now, what does Slalom do, John? Because I don't think we've actually talked about that, so I don't really know much. What are you doing there?
I'm internal HR for them. So Slalom, we're a business and technology consulting firm. So we're based out of Seattle, but we have about 3,500 employees in about 15 different markets. Just went international this year and opened a London market. But so I'm working as internal HR person. We're really trying to build out this HR business partner model here at Slalom. In the past, HR was, we started as a small company in Seattle. So HR supported the offices in different markets, but as our markets continued to grow and scale, our HR department didn't. So for the longest time, each of our offices in the markets didn't have an on-site HR person. And while some may think that's a good thing, as we continue to grow and expand and do great things as a company, we're looking to be a little more proactive from the HR front. So I was hired to work here in our Chicago office. I also support our Minneapolis office as well, and that office has been around for about 18 months, been here over 10 years here in Chicago. And in those two markets, we have close to 500 employees. So my role now is to, how do we, trying to keep away from every HR buzzword you can think of here, but how can we partner with you know, with our businesses? How can we partner with our leaders to provide better support from an HR standpoint? So whether that's, you know, employee advocacy and employee relations, working closely. We have a unique model. We have a talent management department that works in each market and helps with performance management and training and development. So I partner closely with that group and how we're building out strategic programs for our employees and for our leaders. So it's given me the chance, you know, to take – I was thinking back on this. I didn't think I was this old, but and upwards of almost 20 years of experience, and to say, okay, now I can, you know, apply a little bit of what I've gathered from different careers and be able to help shape an organization, and it's really fun. It's unique. Mm-hmm. It's a different industry for me. I've never worked in the consulting world, so when you have employees that aren't really in an office, they're at customer sites. You know, how do you support them when they don't come to you every day? That's always it's been a learning curve for me.
Yeah. So are your consultants like what you might run into? And I don't mean to class anybody, but are they like Deloitte? You know, or
yep.
You go in for a while and you meet on site with some people and do an installation or an implementation of a project? Is that the kind of consulting you do? Or when you
exactly.
say tech is Yeah, so it's technology and other stuff, huh?
And, but yeah, so we are Amazon Cloud Partners, Salesforce, Microsoft. We do a local model. So each of our consultants, whereas your traditional Big Four, when you on Monday morning you're in a plane and then you're coming home Thursday evening, all of our consultants work locally in each of their markets. So, you know, we like to say, we'll have you home for dinner. So we'll partner with local. You take a company like Walgreens or here in the local market, and if they have an implementation, you know, like say Microsoft upgrade, or they're doing a large scale change management. We have a large organizational effectiveness practice that we'll go in, whether it's a team or one or two consultants, and really help that partner with that business to help them on their implementation, and then we. Hopefully help them out and get them going on their own. It's like a Big Four consulting firm. We have, a lot of people from that background.
Yeah. So it's funny, John, you say, we'll get you home at night. I used to recruit truck drivers in the Chicago market back in the early 2000s. And that was that was the same model. We were like, we'll have you home at night. It's not over the road. It's local delivery. So I guess marketing works. You know, you got to give people what they're looking for, right? So
yeah, in this day and age, you know, it's a lot of competition out there. So but it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
I can see where, you know, yes, to go from, you know, one thing into such a different industry is always very interesting. I was just looking at some articles. I'm putting together a newsletter for my membership. I'm running a small organization now that we provide educational materials to members. And so I was putting together the end of May monthly newsletter. And there are a couple articles, one I saw in Fast Company that was something like the new world of work, and a couple others that, you know, were talking about the model, you know, how many different models there are out there now. You know, our entire companies are virtual and so on. And I think that may be one of the biggest challenges, along with your HR. How do you provide the HR business services and the support that you feel is necessary to meet the business needs and to meet the needs of the employees, right? And there's just tons of different challenges out there. So I think you're facing a very timely HR issue. So what are you doing about your HR business partner? One of our questions is like, what keeps you up at night? And I know you mentioned that, so I would imagine that's one of the things. Yeah. So what's up? How are you approaching that?
Well, for me, there are a few things. It's not only supporting my employees, but I also work. I'm in that situation as an employee myself. So my boss is in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I have peers in the West Coast, Southeast and Northeast. So it's when I come to work day to day, you know, my boss is two time zones away. So it's how do we work together, because we're trying to build a consistent model across all of our markets from an HR standpoint, so that communication between three, now we're looking in London, all those time zones, to be able to provide that support is a challenge for me as an employee in sitting through that. But it's also, I think a challenge of when we're dealing with our employees, we talk about this new way to work. I know that's a popular thing. We have employees that are on site with consultants and may not be at the mercy, if you will, of the client. Whereas, you work for a traditional or a corporate environment, it's, I want to be able to work from home. Okay, great. Let's work with your manager and your leadership to see if that works. Well, if my consultant comes to me and says, hey, I want the flexibility to work from home, I'm like, well, what does your client say? How do they feel about, they're paying for your service, and if you're not there, there's still a lot of organizations that, that butts in seats mentality is, if I don't see you, I don't feel I'm getting work out of you. So I work a lot with my employees who come to me with those issues. Is, okay, then how can you, it's no different than working with your manager internally. Work with your client and say, how can I, best support you, provide everything you need based off our statement of work, but also ensure, build that trust that I am delivering for you, whether I'm sitting here in my cube or whether I'm at the office downtown or I'm at my home. I think those issues, whether they are, we still, when we look at these new ways to work, bottom line, you have to get your job done. So how are you showing, when you look at work from home, it's a trust. It's a trust factor. How are you showing that, hey, no matter where I am, you can depend on me? And it may take a while. It may take, get it in a little negotiation. Hey, let me try it on a Friday afternoon, or let me show you why I don't need to be here. So I think those are really things to tackle. Is no matter what are changing in work, it goes down to trust. Does my manager or boss trust me? And am I giving them, reason to trust me? Am I showing I can deliver? Whether I'm wearing jeans to work or a business suit, or whether I'm sitting in a coffee shop or here in my office, a lot of that is built around trust.
Yeah. That's the thing with the new world of work, right? So many companies, and the thing about that is unless it's a commitment, what am I trying to say here, I guess? I think that, people want that, and it sometimes it works great, and sometimes it doesn't work at all, right? And that's individuals, but then there's also the corporate side of that, in that not every manager is really equipped to manage in a remote environment, right? I mean, so it's like a double-edged sword, isn't it? You have to be able to trust your people, but the manager also has to know how to reach out and ensure that stuff is getting done, and it's a huge challenge, I guess.
And I think it's also being able to say to employers or managers, this type of job that you're doing is not built for remote work. It's not everybody's going to be able to do this. You work in a call center environment, where everything has to be, that you're relying on tools that are in one place. Not every job is set up for remote work. And I think it's also, teaching managers or leaders to have that conversation. It's not always going to be fair. I don't care if Susie's working from home. She's got a different job and a different role, and that's how that works. And I think, teaching, you hit it there. I think we put people in, we're trying to get the most out of people with less resources. So to assume that your leaders are equipped to have those types of conversations, whether it's work from home, whether it's dress code, whether, whatever it is. I don't know if we're giving managers the right tools or the right form to have those type of conversations, because we're already expecting so much from them.
Yeah, and I'm not even – I mean, I'm sure there must be stuff out there, but to be honest with you, I mean, and I don't deal with this issue, at the moment. But I can't honestly think of like a really good, training role model that you could cite and say, boy, this company, it's not that they don't exist. I just don't have one on my radar that says, boy, this company that does it really does remote work well. And I'm sure there are tons of examples that I'm not familiar with. I know, like you mentioned call centers, an airline, and I think it was United maybe, sent some of their, they closed down a lot of their call center offices and put people in offices at home. So it's not, and it seems to work because those people, they use tools to measure the phone. Mm-hmm. They, they're still able to track. They have to dial in through computers, so they have, intranet access. They dial in. Their customer service calls are measured. So you can do it, but it may not be the most optimal solution, right? I guess for airlines, I don't know. Anyway.
And that's, when you look at a lot of situations, just because it makes sense for one company or for one organization doesn't mean it makes sense for your organization. And I think that's one way that we can really, HR every day is bombarded with the next best thing. If you're not doing enterprise-wide cloud computing, you're doing it wrong. Well, guess what? I've got 50 employees in remote rural Illinois, and we have one access to one computer for the whole group. I don't care about cloud computing. It doesn't make sense for me. So I think a lot of what we have to do is, we have to look at everything that's out there. I mean, there's so much that can be done. Everyone's doing it right, and then we're told every day that you're doing it wrong because you're not doing that. We have to determine as HR professionals what makes sense for our business, what makes sense for our employees, and what, quite frankly, can I handle? That's great that there's all these great tools, but I got to make sure people get paid and they have their benefits. So this really isn't top of mind for me, and I think we need to determine what's best for each of ours. Just because everyone else is doing it or everybody else is writing about it doesn't mean it's right for my organization.
Right. It's like Zappos and Holacracy, whether that's right for them. That's their organization and their model and all that kind of stuff, right? So what is top of mind for you? And before we do that, John, let me do a reset. Since we got off start, let me at least get the middle of the show correct. So my guest today is John Hudson, who is not John Friend. They're both in the north, and they both live in cold states, so I get them easily confused. This is Mike Vandervoort on Drive-Thru HR, and we actually have John Hudson, who's with, tell me again, Slalom?
Slalom Consulting, if you like skiing.
And based in Seattle and and with offices all across the U.S. and just recently moved in to London, and we're talking about the HR business partner role and John's takes on things like remote work. So where I was going to go next, John, is what is top of mind for you these days? You've been with Slalom for a year. You're doing a lot of stuff, kind of trench HR stuff. What's really on top of mind?
I think within my role here, but also just within, I look at the HR industry as a whole. I'm trying to determine each day, what can I do to impact my organization? Sure, there's 10, 15 different other things I would like to do, but I don't have the capacity to do it, whether it's don't have sign-off, don't have budget, don't have, we're looking right now at a new HRIS system. And there are some of the creme de la creme out there that this is what I'd actually love to have, but quite frankly, I don't have the money to do it. So within those confines, I was kind of talking about it before, we're bombarded with everything that you should be doing, and if you're not doing that, you're doing it wrong. So one of the things I focus on and when I talk to my peers and teams is, well, what can you actually affect? What can you actually have an impact? And if that is not as quote-unquote strategic, but it's providing a value to your employees, if it's providing a service and it helps them, puts the tools in their hands to do their job better. So whether it is a slick new system or if it's you created a Word doc that does something to make their job easier, that's what I look at what I can do every day to impact that. And while I love, reading about the trends that are going on in the industry, quite frankly, I'm not in a position to do that, but that doesn't mean, I'm doing it wrong. or we're not. And I think, I do want to, whether you're getting started in your career, whether you're at a point or with an organization that you just can't be that strategic or moving forward or cutting edge, that's okay. Let's kind of step back and realize how many organizations, when you look around, are really truly cutting edge. You know, there's a lot of great tools out there. There's a lot to do, but I think we're still, we're probably doing some things that we did 20 years ago. It doesn't make it bad. It doesn't make it wrong. It's a lot of what you choose to do and what you have the capacity to take on, and where are you in your organization to do it?
That's really, I think, where I worked before I joined Q, the organization I'm with now was Public Supermarkets. We had almost 150,000 associates in six states, 1,100 retail stores, and some number, probably 20 plus other support sites, distribution centers, and warehouses. It was a massive organization, right? And that's the, and every year, and this was done in my department, although I was not the manager of this function. I had a co-manager. We both reported to the same supervisor, but this was actually part of the labor relations group embedded inside Publix in HR. And we did an annual, what we called associates, an employee opinion survey. And we did it with bubble. We processed them. We packaged them up internally. They were bubble forms, with number two pencils. They were sent out in an envelope to every location. They were filled out within 2 weeks, and they were sent back, and then they were scanned because we had the technology in-house. And I used to talk to other, large retailers and tell them how we did that process. And it was turned around and completed inside 60 days every year. By, we added some temps and we did some things to boost the resources, but we did it all internally with a very low, much lower technology methodology than it was available through software and stuff like that. But that's because about 120,000 of the people who took the survey actually didn't have email addresses because retail stores don't generally, give every employee that they have an individual email account, right? Because they don't need it. They want them out front selling. And I don't mean to make my story we're a $30 billion Fortune 100 company, and we certainly could have afforded to buy something better, but we didn't need it, and what we had worked. And I think that's the point that you're trying to make.
Absolutely.
Budgets that's, can strain you, but it's also the effectiveness and how you deliver the results, right?
What was your response rate on that?
Well over 85%.
Wow. That's fantastic.
That company was unusual. We were highly engaged. It wasn't that unusual, but we were highly engaged, and people, if people were given time on the clock, obviously, but very high scores, usually every year, very high scores and very high participation rates. And great system.
That's a great example. And I think, you hear about things of, if you're doing tactical work, you're not moving the business forward. And, maybe for your business that you're working on, the tactical work, if you will, that you're doing, it may be moving the business forward. That for your particular organization. And it's, you just got to understand what the needs of your company are. And if you really, and that's another thing, if you don't enjoy doing that type of work, find a place that is doing that. I've been very fortunate throughout my career even back in the late 90s and early 2000s to always be part of a progressive HR department. We were doing the Ulrich from your past guest a couple days ago, doing that, the Ulrich model back in 2000. And when you talk about being a part of the business, I was with an organization that our CEO and our head of HR were in lockstep. And so I was in every meeting. I was in every, supportive finance group, and I was in every CFO's staff meeting. And so growing up in HR, that's what I knew. And so from there, when I moved on in my career, I found roles that were like that. So, but I was just fortunate to choose that's the type of work I want to do. I would not be in a good role where, I had to write up, and I've had to do this, but if you asked me to come in and write a benefits manual, that's probably not the best role for me, but I wouldn't go in and take that role. So I think there's a lot of work. There's a huge spectrum in HR, and everyone's going to be different. Every position is different, but it doesn't make it wrong. I think it's you still just got to look at what capacity do you have and what's the appetite of your organization. Hey, this is great HR, but I'm going to put our money elsewhere that helps us grow a little more. And if that's the case, then you jump in, roll the sleeves up, and say, well, how can we help? How can we support? How can we make each employee's job easier so the focus can be on revenue? And how can I get out of the way when needed? Less is sometimes more. I've always, if you want to be in front of the scenes and on the corporate website, maybe HR is not the right position. We don't want to be on the headlines for all the wrong reasons. We do what we need to do to keep our employees and our company out of the papers, but also give them the best way to be effectiveness. And sometimes that's just getting out of the way and removing, addition by subtraction, removing a process that if it's just a check-the-box thing that you've done just because HR has done it in the past, doesn't make it right. And if you can be more effective by, removing some barriers for your employees and leaders, do it. There's no HR manual, universal HR manual that says you have to, do it this way or do it that way. And that's a great thing about our role is we have the freedom to experiment and the freedom to hopefully do some things we want to do, but also look at things and say, is this really, really moving the business forward?
Honestly, that's what I've always loved about the profession is because I've had the opportunity to work in a ton of different, business types of businesses. I never thought I would want to work in retail, and it was actually one of the greatest companies. Publix was actually one of the greatest companies I ever worked for because I always had this retail HR as being, very, very administrative and almost like the old personnel department. Not true at all, You had to overcome challenges and stuff. Just very different. Listen, we're down to the last 2 minutes, John.
All right.
So what's going on with you? What have you got coming up? I think you're doing something with Illinois Sherm here in a couple months, right?
Yeah, in a few months. I've had the honor. I was voluntold for the role as MC for Illinois Sherm. This year we're doing a little later. We're doing in mid-September, so I'm really looking forward to that. Got some great keynote speakers and a lot of great content and some new people to the lineup, so I'm really, really looking forward to jumping into that, something outside of the office. So, that's something that would be great here for Illinois. And we got a new location this year, too, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
Finley Park. So you're following some pretty big shoes there with Charlie Judy, who I haven't seen in forever, and Dwayne Lays. I'll be speaking there, so I'll get to see you. I'll give you on the spot performance appraisal.
Like I said, it's a fantastic lineup we have, and of course with you being in that lineup, that even makes it the best.
Thanks. Yeah. No. John Hudson is a better MC than Charlie Judy. So
this will be year three for me, so it's still the big shoes to follow.
I haven't been up here, I guess, I guess it's been 2 years. So, yeah, I didn't know you had already done it. Well, then you're well-practiced.
Just shows the footprint he's left.
Yeah. We're down to the final 30, so let me thank you for being our guest today, and sorry for butchering up your name. I wouldn't want to be compared to John Friend, really, but, no, he's a great guy. I have to get him on the show so that I can do the same thing to him. It'll be my new keynote opening. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to play a little music to get us out of here, and we'll see you in September.
All right. Thanks, Mike.